Coming up next on The Voice of Alabama Politics, a bathroom ban. Also, the legislature has some church-state problems, and the Senate is holding up the gambling bill.
Who the hell is this?
The man who's robbing you.
It's robbery. All this and much, much more coming up next on The V. Welcome to The Voice of Alabama Politics, where we tackle the tough issues so you have the hard facts. I'm your host, Bill Britt, and as always, I'm joined by Susan Britt, research guru extraordinaire, and the man in tan who's got a plan, Josh Moon, columnist at APR and investigative reporter. Welcome.
Thank you. The man with a tan.
So, yeah. Well, you know, tans in winter are hard to come by.
They are.
Unless you've got some of that orange spray on.
That's right. Yeah, you got to go Trump orange if you're going to have one in the winter.
Well, hard to come by. Yeah. They aren't. Anyway, great week in politics.
For who?
For anybody.
Ain't nobody living here. Hell, is this still Alabama politics?
Okay. Well, anyway, over in the 2nd Congressional District, you're going to have Shamari Figures faced off against Anthony Daniels. Mm-hmm. And on the Republican side, you're going to have Dick Brubaker face off against Caroline Dobson.
Nice!
All right!
He was
first
running
step.
Against...
Finally got it!
Right. He wasn't running first against step. Caroline DeBose.
Caroline DeBose would have been quite an upset in this thing, I tell you.
What's your takeaway, Josh?
I was surprised on the Democratic side with Shamari Figures' performance. He's never been on a ballot in this state, and so I felt like that was going to cause him some problems. Now, of course, he got $2 million in money from a super PAC, that was looking to do something with cryptocurrency or whatever. And so, I've talked to some people who live in the Montgomery area, and they received something like 9 mailers from him in a period of about 3 weeks.
Yeah, he spent a lot of money.
Yeah. Mm. So, I mean, they got the name out. His performance, particularly in Montgomery, was really surprising to me. The fact that he was able to best Anthony Daniels in Montgomery, I didn't think that was possible.
Do you think any of this could have to do with that mailer that went out that told some 5,000 people that they needed to vote in District 7?
Yeah, I mean, I think it could. I think it could have. It could have had an effect in that district. It would be interesting to me to see how this kind of gets turned around. Because I don't know that that group is necessarily going to support Figures as much as it did in this previous one, because I don't think Anthony Daniels holds that any sort of a view in terms of regulation of cryptocurrency and things. And so I'm interested to see how that works or who they'll get behind and how they can be able to kind of turn this thing around.
Right. Be interesting to watch. No surprise, Dick Brubaker coming in strong. He's a native son of Montgomery.
Well, he's got all the name recognition in the world with Brubaker Motors. Of course, he sold that now, but nevertheless, that was a big deal.
I didn't think it. No. The Shamari Figures was the big surprise.
Yeah, absolutely.
That was the big surprise. I mean, seems like a great guy. We'll see.
And the vote was 43 to 22, so it'll be interesting to see in the runoff how that's actually going to play out.
Yeah. I want to move on to something that was a bad week for education in Alabama, the Choice Act.
Choose Act.
They keep renaming it.
We're choosing to be stupid about what it does.
But. I mean, the Choose Act that will put $100 million towards helping wealthy families to ensure that their kids go to private schools, while poor children in poor schools will suffer. Because we are looking out for the wealthiest among us. And even though they tell us there's something different, it's not, Josh.
No. It's they've chosen to lie to people. is basically what they've done. All right, because there's not a person who went through the door that voted for this thing that don't know what would solve our education problems. All right, and it's always the same. It's identifying the at-risk kids, the impoverished children, the school systems that are struggling, and devoting more resources, more teachers, more effort to those places. And instead, what they've done is they've taken money out of it. They've taken money away from those kids to give to kids that are already going to private schools, yeah, who already have advantages that those kids don't, yeah, have. And they're going to further separate that gap in there and further punish those kids,
yeah,
just for, you know, not having the resources.
I mean, Susan, you know, we know some people that have some good schools and, mm-hmm, some places that have some good schools. And this $7,000 isn't going to pay for most private schools.
It will not pay full year's tuition in private school. Everybody knows that. But yet they're still pulling that $7,000, as Josh said, for now.
Yeah.
It's $7,000, which you're talking about eating into school lunch programs. You're talking about eating into their education, mm-hmm, their resources of any sort. But yet they're just flagrantly doing it and saying it's okay. This is a great thing.
Yeah, and if you look at, let's say you go down to Selma in that area down there in Black Belt, almost 100% mm-hmm of those children, mm-hmm, are on free or reduced lunches.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
With the $7,000 to go to a private school, you do not get your free or reduced lunch. I mean, if you take, what is that, that big private school down in Selma?
Morgan.
Morgan.
I mean, this guy was a big Confederate, yeah, guy. Yeah. He believed, uh-huh, in lynching, mm-hmm, and all that. It is a white private school.
It's a segregation academy.
Yeah.
I mean, that's what it is.
It's been that way for years. Yeah. Well, they don't want those kids.
No. And they're not going to take them. And that's the, you know, there's so many issues with this. You know, the fact that already we've seen, you know, private schools starting to jack up the tuition prices, you know, because that's just what they're going to do.
Yeah.
And you're right. The average cost right now is $8,000. Mm-hmm. So you're already not going to, poor families are not going to be able to afford the extra, sure, grand a year. They're not going to be able to afford the transportation. They're, yeah, not going to be able to afford the lunches and stuff. So what are you doing? You're not, yeah, giving every kid a chance. You're not. And now this nonsense that they say, oh, it shouldn't matter about your zip code. Well, it does. It, yeah, matters about your zip code and your income. And you're screwing over these kids. Well, and I knew you were doing it.
It also amounts to where you live in a county. Like Dallas County is pretty large. And you're trying to transport a child to Selma every day.
Yeah.
That ain't going to happen for these low under.
I mean, if you got a kid in Troy and you want to send him to anything besides a super religious school,
mm-hmm,
you got to go to Montgomery.
Yeah. You know, I want to say, you know, this kind of speaks a lot to the voter apathy that we have in this state and the lack of engagement that we have in this state. And also, you know, like how we've lost the AEA. Over the course, I mean, could you imagine this happening with Paul Hubbard?
No,
I mean, you know, with the organization that would have happened back during those days,
yeah.
And the majority of people in this state who have children or who have had children have sent them to public schools in this state, and they love those schools. They love, yeah, their teachers. They talk about them with great pride, and they, you know, they lament the fact that they don't have more resources. These people have sat on their hands, yeah, and allowed this money to be taken away, and it's because they don't know that it's happening.
Right. And the AEA is gone from a powerhouse to a toothless tiger, mm-hmm, which I told them some 10 years ago at a convention that they invited me to speak. If they did not understand and work to move this legislative agenda, they would be, yeah, meeting by a campfire in the woods.
I mean, it's what's happening with them right now in public education in this state should be a rallying cry to organize people and parents and teachers and administrators in schools, and it's not happening. It's happening in other states, yeah, but it hadn't happened here.
They're happy to get a pat on the back or tummy rub. You're watching The V, the voice of Alabama politics. We'll be right back.
It's time. Time we had someone in Congress fighting for us. As Democratic leader in the State House, Anthony Daniels helped steer millions of dollars into our district, fighting to raise wages, invest in our infrastructure, and create good jobs. Now he's passed a new law, removing state taxes on overtime pay, putting more money in our pockets. It's time for Anthony Daniels for Congress. One of us for all of us.
I'm Anthony Daniels, and I approve this message.
Your home is your most valuable asset, but what if someone tried to steal it from you?
Property fraud is one of the fastest growing areas of fraud in the country today.
As a district attorney, I've seen firsthand the devastating effects of property fraud. That's why I'm proud to support the Montgomery County Probate Court's REACT program.
REACT is designed to protect your property and to give you peace of mind. By signing up, you'll receive an email notification if a document is filed against your property.
This program is a game changer. It has the potential to prevent fraud and protect countless homeowners throughout Montgomery County.
So don't wait. Sign up for REACT today and protect your home.
Protect your home with REACT. Sign up today.
Welcome back to The V, the voice of Alabama politics. Susan, if you took the Marx Brothers, the Three Stooges, and threw in Dumber and Dumber, and Will Ferrell, and whoever else you could think, their comedy and stupidity pales next to the comedy and stupidity going on in the Senate with this gaming bill. They make monkeys seem like Einstein.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. If you put all of those that you just mentioned in the room with the legislators that are screwing around this bill, they'd be the most intelligent people in the room in character.
I mean, yeah, in character, right. Yeah. I mean, Josh, you've written on this extensively. I mean, this has gone from a solid bill coming out of the House to a hodgepodge of just phony baloney in the Senate.
Yeah, and you know, and I think we're giving them a pass a little bit here by claiming that they're stupid, because I think some of them are not very stupid. The idea was to kill this legislation,
that's exactly what they're doing here.
And they're trying to do it in a way that they don't upset people. I got to tell you, I have never received, I've covered gambling a long time, and I've never received the amount of responses, and the amount of engagement and seeing the amount of engagement with just regular people around about this gambling bill that's taking place. And so I think that's what you're seeing in the Senate, is they're trying to figure out a way to kill it for their special interest groups, the Alphas and the other folks out there, in a way that makes it seem as though that we're really trying to do something.
Yeah.
But they're not really trying to do something. What they're trying to do, or what they've put forth, is a bill they know can't survive.
Right, all right?
And it's never going to survive. And it's a bill that really nobody wants, because it gives you a quarter of the revenue with all the same amount of gambling.
And
the same amount of expense.
Yes.
They're asking for the three Porch Creek casinos.
We'll
get full casino.
Mm-hmm. Assuming there is a compact reach between the governor and the Porch Creeks, they would get those three locations in Atmore, Wetumpka, and Montgomery. Mm-hmm. Then there would be seven additional locations that would have historical horse racing games that are currently basically playing historical horse racing now. And then you would have a statewide lottery, and you would no sports wagering in there, although sports wagering is probably the one thing we need the most. And then you would also have a gaming commission. With a law enforcement arm that's going to cost tens of millions of dollars a year. So it's going to come out of the lottery proceeds.
You're barely going to make any money off the lottery.
Yes.
And you're not going to make much money off of the Porch Creek because of the way the federal government demands it be constructed. Mm-hmm. So really what they're doing is trying to pass a bill that's not only worthless, it ain't worth a dime.
No, it's dumb. The crazy thing about it is, I know the Porch Creeks will get some blame for a lot of this stuff. They didn't even ask for this. Mm-hmm. They didn't even ask for what's being presented to them at this point. And the only thing they had ever asked for out of this was, hey, at the end of all this, could us state, not just them, but all the state operators, could the people in the state that run businesses, could we have the last opportunity to make a bid?
Yeah.
That's all they ever asked out of any of this. And these monkeys will not allow this to take place.
You know, the thing, Susan, that has just astonished me is that Governor Kay Ivey has put the weight of her office and her personal political power behind this. And as one senator said to me, they're just flipping her the bird because they don't care.
They don't care.
They're not afraid of her, and they don't think they need anything.
I mean, it came through the House historically, originally in the House and actually passed the House. As a good bill. And then it went to the Senate, and the feathers hit the fan.
Yeah.
And now they've just been playing these games, and they know what they're working on right now will not the House will not concur with. They absolutely will not.
Due to the smell, I don't think it was only feathers.
Well, I'm sorry. Right.
Again, I want to remind people that what's out there is an opportunity for people to vote
there
on this thing.
Yes,
you know, it's
right.
An opportunity. And this other major change that we didn't mention is they want to move it off the November ballot because they're scared that it's going to drive Democrats out and Republicans might be affected somewhere.
Yeah, right.
Yeah. And so and put it at a special election in September. Well, if you're going to do that and you're going to have this special election and we're going to incur this expense as taxpayers, why don't you just put everything on the ballot?
Yeah.
Why don't you just put up different bills and let people go down through there and let them vote on what they want. If they want the casinos, if they want the lottery, if they want the sports wagering, if they want all of these things, put it down there. It's all one ballot. It's not going to cost you any more.
Right. No, it's all the same expense.
Yeah.
Sounds brilliant to me. Gosh, Josh. They got to be able to figure that out, right? Because you just told them.
Well, I mean, that's not what they want to do. All right?
They
purposely do not want people to vote on this.
They don't.
They want to kill it so that people can't vote and we can't have this because they have special interests, some from out of the state, some from Vegas casinos and Mississippi casinos.
And illegal gamblers here.
Yes.
Who are in their district.
Yes. There are problems. Matter of fact, maybe we should have a story about this.
We're thinking about probably we should have a story.
Number of establishments around the state, including, you know, in the counties where some of these folks are representing and in the places where the AG represents.
Yeah,
I mean, all these places a lot of illegal gambling.
Those that are opponents to the bill, they're actually screwing with it the most. I think that would be very enlightening.
Yeah, I think that, you know, keep watch for APR. You might see that.
You might.
Something else that I thought was very, very discouraging, but we only had about a minute and 30 seconds, and so we'll hit the highlights. Is they have, looks like they're passed anti-DEI bill, anti-diversity inclusion and
equity and inclusion.
Mm-hmm. And a bathroom bill, so you got to use the bathroom.
The guards are going to be out front.
Yeah, the guards are going to be in between two bathrooms going, show me your skirt,
If the women's bathroom is men's bathroom is full and there's nobody in the women's bathroom, you can go to jail for going in that bathroom. But Josh, the diversity, equity, inclusion bit really will hurt Alabama football.
Well, it'll hurt sports. I mean, because according to the way that it's written currently, now they may change it here pretty fast once they figure this thing out, what they've done with yet another bill that they're going to have to fix, is it forbids public institutions from participating in organizations that have DEI, you know, requirements.
Yeah.
Well, one of those is the NCAA.
Yeah.
So,
right.
You know, welcome to your all-white basketball league next year at Auburn and Alabama, I guess. You know.
Well, you know, these guys, someone would shoot themselves in the head instead of in the foot so many times, we'd have a lot less problem.
Yeah.
I didn't really mean, metaphorically.
Right. Yeah, that slipped
out.
But
it really is, these bills are given to them by national organizations. They're half thought through.
There
and they
you
cause
go.
More problems than anything.
Just like the Supreme Court decision. They don't think it through.
Well, we're going to get to that brilliant piece of legislation that they have to kind of fix this temporarily.
Sort
of. All right. You're watching The V, the voice of Alabama politics. We'll be right back to talk about IVF.
It's time. Time we had someone in Congress fighting for us. As Democratic leader in the State House, Anthony Daniels helped steer millions of dollars into our district, fighting to raise wages, invest in our infrastructure, and create good jobs. Now he's passed a new law, removing state taxes on overtime pay, putting more money in our pockets. It's time for Anthony Daniels for Congress. One of us for all of us.
I'm Anthony Daniels, and I approve this message.
As a paramedic, you wouldn't believe the things that we've seen.
I've seen all types of horrible things.
I mean, we're there basically picking up the pieces from your worst day.
Everyone is just driving and not paying attention.
We all have the same goal. All of us want to go home alive and safe and harm nobody else in the process.
Slow down. Be careful. Care about the other people on the road. Don't be the reason that someone else doesn't go home tonight.
Welcome back to The V, the voice of Alabama politics. Susan, I know you have been very concerned about the IVF mm-hmm. bill and what it does and does not cover. Before we get to that, you know, the Supreme Court based their ruling, at least Tom Parker, who's the Chief Justice, the most important man on the court, because he runs the court system. He based it on his personal biblical beliefs that align with Christian conservative mm-hmm. belief on pro-life. And so we saw that this religion base is how we came to have this terrible, terrible thing happen here in the state. But, you know, there are a lot of blurred lines over church and state in this state right now. These bathroom bills mm-hmm. are based on religious ideology. The bills to ban certain books in public library based on religious mm-hmm. ideologies. There's many of these that are based on Christian evangelical ideologies. In the same way that places like Iran, Iraq, Afghanistan, Saudi Arabia base their laws on religion. Here, we're just doing it on Christianity and calling it okay.
Right, we're basing it on one religion and enforcing it on everyone. And, you know, what they're doing with this is basically parsing the Bible. There was an excellent op-ed this week on APR from Chris Christie that explains a lot of this and how this fits into the Bible. It was very well written. It was very well thought through. But we're also alienating the LGBTQ community. We're alienating everyone. We're making it okay to be racist or radical, and it's really affecting, when it comes down to not thinking through what the court decided and to what the ripple effect were to these families that were trying to do IVF. They didn't think it through. They just based it on religion, not on law and logic.
Right, right.
And that caused a major problem.
Yeah, but this is what happens when you mix the religion with policy and mm-hmm. politics.
Mm-hmm. They don't fit.
Which Thomas Jefferson wrote the Declaration of Independence. James Madison, who basically wrote all the Constitution. They understood that, John. Mm-hmm. But there's one other thing. Slavery mm-hmm. and enslaving black people mm-hmm. was based on a misrepresentation of the Christian Bible.
Yes, oh, well, yeah. I mean, of course. I mean, listen, they put on their clothes made with two cloths and two different threads and eat some shellfish, and they make these things up on the fly. And, I mean, it's really funny to watch these people twist themselves in knots, honestly. I wish it didn't affect good people like it does.
That's true.
Because if it didn't, it would be hilarious to watch these people twist themselves into knots trying to pick and choose which portions of the Bible that they want to apply based on their own ickiness meter and within themselves. Yeah, yeah. That's why we got the gay marriage issue before, was because it didn't have anything really to do with biblical scripture. That was right after. I was literally, people were eating shellfish when they made the decision, you know? and it's like the next chapter that we're talking about, you know? Or the next verse in the thing. And so they're talking about this as though it's some call from the Almighty himself, when actually it's just based on their own, I don't really like that, you know? And that's how they have decided to justify what they do and they don't like and how they want to do things and how they want to treat people, because it makes them feel better about on people.
Really. Yeah, and then they
say that on TV?
We can this morning.
Okay. Yeah. But what they do is they stamp it with a biblical scripture, albeit taken out of context, and that makes it okay.
Well, I mean, I can prove to you out of the Bible that God's dead says so right there. Mm-hmm. But you go up a little bit, says the fool says in his heart.
Right, God is dead.
You can twist it any way you want to defend whatever
you need.
Just don't do the red parts, because those are woke.
Yes. Yeah, well, they are. Jesus was very woke.
He was.
Yeah. You can't have that.
He was accepting of people.
I do want to move on to the IVF. They have passed legislation. Governor Ivey has signed it to try to fix the screw-up over at the Supreme Court. Although, Susan, they admit themselves that this is a temporary fix.
They do.
Temporary to what?
Can I just say,
the
Supreme Court didn't screw up. The Supreme Court interpreted Alabama laws as they were written.
Yeah.
In the 1700s.
Yeah, I mean, no, I'm just saying that this is what they said. This is what these people said, that life begins at this stage.
That's
and
true.
So if you're going to say that in our law and we're going to codify it, then this is the result of these idiotic ideas that we have about abortion and things. Yeah. This is what we did here, okay? And yes, Should they have put all the scripture in? No, they should not have done that. But this is the end result of taking that sort of a stance on life. And you can't then say, this is life, except for all these thousands that we're throwing away.
Well, that's true. And it's contradictory in the new legislation.
It is. It is. It's the same rule that a lot of people try to identify life with. If you have a frozen embryo in one room and you have a two-year-old child in the lobby with you, and the building catches on fire, which one are you going to try to save? You can only save one. Which one are you going to save?
Well, are you going to save the 10,000 that are frozen back there, or the one two-year-old? Exactly. You know, and everybody knows. Everybody knows what the answer is to this. Yeah. But this is what, when you put it into law.
But you're right. The law says.
The law says this is a life. This is a child. That they have all the same rights as that two-year-old standing in the lobby. Right. They have all the same rights. And so if that's what you're saying, then if you're throwing them in the garbage, if you threw a two-year-old in the garbage, they would come and get you. You know?
Well, you know, Dr. Death.
Yes.
But Dr. Stutt.
Larry Stutt, yes.
Dr. Death, who's never seen a fetus that he didn't love or a mother that he wouldn't
allow
to expire.
And ignore.
Yeah.
And he settled lawsuits with that. So this is my opinion.
Right.
I think.
Sure.
Yeah.
But anyway. He pointed this out. He said, you know, you're going to let them destroy and there's no penalty for them now destroying these things.
Mm-hmm.
He said, there's no penalty. There's not even a civil fine. And he said, how is that consistent? Now, when a guy like Dr. Death gets up and says, hey, you're being dishonest here. You got to go. This is a guy who's named Dr. Death.
Mm-hmm.
And he's being honest.
Yeah. I mean, exactly. But I hate to say this, but he's right.
He is right.
This is, you've got to change the laws themselves. That's the only fix to this, is you've got to go back and say this idea that we have, we've got to some way or another transform it into something that's a bit more based in science, okay? Yeah. And not this just bumper sticker slogan of life begins at conception. Well, that causes some problems.
Well, it does. And I have to return to a great principle that not only is biblical, but is stamped by Monty Python. If you want to be accurate, every sperm is sacred.
You shouldn't spill it on the ground.
Now you let the heathen do that, not the believer. Anyway, we're going to have to leave it there with that bit of wisdom. You've been watching The V, the voice of Alabama politics. You watch out.